uses every opportunity that he gets to do that. He came to me, to give you a little background on my lesson this morning. He came to me about 3 weeks ago and asked me if I was able to preach. And I take it an honor every opportunity that I can bring y'all a lesson from God's Word, to bring it to this congregation who loves me so well and I love y'all so much. But he asked me right before church service. So I came into church service, and it was just like one of these church services this morning where everything seems to be going well and the way the Lord wants. The prayer's beautiful. The songs are well picked. The Lord's Supper is led in such a wonderful way. So I was in that church service. I was sitting in my normal seat. Y'all know where I sit. And when we were doing the Lord's Supper. And what I do when I do the Lord's Supper is I read scriptures as to keep myself focused on the cross. So I read the account of Christ dying on the cross. And then what happened, I read the account with the thieves on the cross. And when I took the bread, I read the verse and I went, wait a minute. So when the cup come around, I'm reading again, so I'll go back over and read it again. Because something hit me. And I realized I found my sermon. Because I realized at that moment in time, and a lot of y'all probably realize this too, but I want y'all to go into a deeper think and realize this. When I read that part of the thief on the cross, I realized I am the thief on the cross. When I read that story and got into that story and I left church and started studying that, I realized I am really the thief on that cross. So I want to carry you down this journey of my lesson this morning. What I learned after that moment of reading those scriptures at the Lord's Supper. What I want to do is I want us to look the thief versus Christ. So what we're going to do is I'm going to pull from Matthew and I'm going to pull from Luke. But I want us to look at the contrast at the first part of this lesson because it plays such a big impact at the end of this lesson. The contrast of Christ being on that cross with the thieves on that cross. In Matthew, it tells us, Matthew 27, verse 38, it tells us, then were there two thieves crucified with him. One on the right hand and the other on the left. That's Matthew's account. They're thieves on the cross. Luke's account in 23 tells us this. Two others also were criminals, were being led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place called the Skull, they were crucified with him. They were criminals. One on the right and one on the left. These are two thieves, two criminals, common criminals, put up there with Christ to die. They hung two criminals side by side when Christ was hanging on the cross. You think about that. Matter of fact, there was a thief that was let go so Christ could fill in for him. You remember that part of the story? So he was put there right in the middle of two people who died on the cross, common criminals, common thieves. But when we look at the contrast of who was on that cross, I want you to understand this. And then 2 Corinthians 8, 9 tells us this. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty, think about that for a minute because we're going to go into a little bit more discussion, you are able to become rich. Think about this. Our Heavenly Father is in heaven. No better place to be, no more riches than you could ever have than being by your Heavenly Father. He didn't stand up there and say, you need to come follow me. Or you need to come to me. What he did, he's left all that and came to us. Let that sink in for a minute. He left all that. All that glory in heaven, all the riches of heaven to come to you and become poor and to come into poverty. Even before he was even put on the cross, Christ gave it all of it up for each and every one of us. That's who's on the cross between two thieves. The man who came from heaven and gave it all up came down to poverty to be hung between two thieves. Two common criminals. Depends on which one you read, out of Matthew or out of Luke. That's what they were. Two common criminals. Let's look at this for a second, because it's going to play a big part in this. Let's look at the thieves and go back to Matthew, and we look at Matthew 27, and we read 42 through 44, but I'm going to break it down. He saved others. This is the crowd now. You've got to understand, let's put it to perspective, who's reading the first part of this, who that we're talking about. He saved others, they said, but he cannot save himself. He's the king of the Israels. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. They were mocking him. They saw what he'd done before. They saw that all the great miracles he's done. They were looking for him to come down. So they were mocking him. The crowd was. Tell him, you're supposed to be the king of Israel. Come on down off there. He's hanging on the cross, suffering on the cross, and they're sitting there mocking him. Look at this next part, Matthew 27, verse 43. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants. And it says after that, for he says, I am the Son of God. So they were trying to pull away from his faith in his heavenly Father. They saying, if you're God's son, come down from there. Let God rescue you if he wants. Can you imagine being Christ on that cross and they're mocking even his heavenly Father? How much he wanted to retaliate. How much I would. Not only are you mocking me now, that you are also mocking my heavenly Father. But look at Matthew 27, 44. It's a key to part of this lesson that I'm giving this morning. Look what it says. In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. Which ones? At this point, it's both. Sometimes we read over that and don't realize. We catch the part where the thief or the criminal says, Lord. But we forget, he started out the same way. He started out mocking Christ. So you have two criminals sitting there mocking Christ, who are criminals, who deserve to be there. But you got to realize at this point, both thieves are the same. They're both mocking Christ. They're both throwing heaps of insults on him. This was read earlier out of 1 Peter 2, 23 through 24. Listen to this. When they heaped their insults on him, he did not retaliate. He suffered and he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself unto him who judges justly. You think about that. When they were hauling those insults at him, the Lord sat there and hung on the cross and trusted on his Father. He knew that he was there for a purpose and a reason. He knew that he couldn't get upset. He held it all back. Why did he hold it all back? For himself, he bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live a righteous life. And I love this last part. By his wounds, you have been healed. You wouldn't have been healed if Christ wouldn't have died on that cross. If he wasn't willing to give his life for each and every one of us, we wouldn't be healed today. It's impossible. He knew that he had to do that for you and each and every one in this room this morning. That's totally different contrast from the thief. Because you think about the thieves on the cross, and you need to understand this because we're going to talk about this in a little bit more. Those thieves were godly people. They were God's children. They were Israelites. They followed the Sabbath and they did everything they did, but they stole. Why? For their own gain. They were looking out for themselves. They didn't care about nobody else. So those two thieves didn't care about anybody but themselves. That's why they ended up on the cross in the first place. Because all they were thinking about them. In Hebrews chapter 10, 28 through 29 tells us this. Anyone who rejects the law of Moses dies without mercy. They were put on the cross, and their punishment by the law when they disobeyed the law was to die without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the sons of God's underfeet and who has treated as unholy the things that the blood of the covenant and the sacrifice of them, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? How much more do you think we need to be punished if we're not following God's will? If we're insulting Christ, we're putting and stomping on God's feet, insulting the Spirit who's there to lift us up. How much more do you think we need to be punished? But I'll tell you one thing right now. I don't want to get what I just deserve. I want to be on the side of mercy and grace. That's what Christ gave to us and shows to us. He coming down from heaven is showing mercy and grace. I don't want to be those two thieves on the cross, even though I am, because I don't want what I just deserve. I want to be on the side of mercy and grace. Now, Christ committed no sin. There was no reason for him to be on that cross for what he'd done. None. No deceive found in his mouth. So why was he on that cross? He was on that cross for us. Because he had committed no crime. Nothing bad came out of his mouth. They could not find anything for a reason to put him on that cross. There was only one reason he was on that cross, and that was because of us. Matter of fact, I want us to look at Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, and I love this verse as we think about this. Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16 says this, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive," what? "Mercy and grace to help us in our times of need." Christ came from the high down low, so when we come to him in pain and with sorrow and with struggles and with difficulties, he's been through it. He had to do that so he can be there for us. So when we go to the throne of the Lord, we're able to go with confidence that our Lord understands what we're going through. If he wouldn't have done that, we would say, he don't understand. He didn't go through that. But he lived his life on earth just the way we lived our life. Tempted as we are, facing sorrow and everything that you face, he's faced already. So it gives us confidence when we go to him, realizing there's that mercy and that grace I can go to, the love that he has for us. Now, there's difference in the two thieves. The two thieves are definitely different. The one thief says one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ, saved? Save yourself and us." Think about what he's saying. He's saying, "All right, I want to see you come down off there. And by the way, when you come down, won't you save us too?" There again, he's thinking about himself. This criminal throwing insults, and this thief throwing insults to him, just thinking about himself. He wants to see if he's going to come down, but when you do, don't forget me. So he threw that the whole time. But let's look at the other thief. I'm going to read from scriptures because it's a little easier for me to read it out of the scriptures than I can see from up there. In verse 39, I want to read that again. One of the criminals who hurled their insults at him, "Aren't you the Christ?" And the other version says, "Messiah, save yourself and us." But listen to the criminal, and let's put him on the right side. Because I don't know which side he's on, but I know at this point he's on the right side of the heart of God when he starts speaking here. So when I reference him from this point on, I'm going to reference to the criminal to the right. And this is him. The other one's the criminal to the left. But he said in verse 40, "But the other criminal rebuked him. 'Don't you fear God?' he said, 'since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly for what we're getting and what our deed deserves. But this man has done nothing wrong.' And then he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come to your kingdom.'" What happened? This was a criminal or a thief who was earlier throwing insults at Christ. Something changed. Something pricked his heart. Something converted him. He was convicted and converted right there on the cross. The one was touched and moved in the presence of a dying Savior. At some point on that cross, when he's getting ready to die, he realized, that's my Savior. And he's dying on the cross. He did nothing wrong, so he must be dying for me as well. His heart was touched and pricked to where he was changed right at that last moment. Because you got to understand, he's dying. He's getting ready to die. So now he's not like the other thief or the other criminal anymore. He's on the right hand of God. Because Jesus told him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." He was converted, and he was convicted. I found this, and I love this. I found this slide, and it says this. Mercy forgave the thief on the cross, but grace escorted him into paradise. I was telling Russ about, because I give him my sermons for him to look over, and we were talking about this very moment, and he said, "Brian, do you realize something?" I go, "What's that?" He says, "I want you to think about something." This is from Russ. He says, "Think about the greatest leaders in the Bible. Moses, Noah, Jacob, Isaac, Paul, David. Any of them. Think of one in your head. Which one did he escort through paradise? Which one did he escort through paradise? Could have picked anybody in the time of history to escort through paradise. He picked the thief on the cross. It tells us who's he's after. He's after us. He's after each and every one of us. Those who the people he's targeting, the love they have, are those who are on the thieves that are on the cross. Only one chose to follow him. The other one could have, but he chose not to. He picked the thief on the cross to walk across in paradise, because that's what they did together. You know, we sing the song here every once in a while. "The Lord, I lift your name on high." And then I want us to listen to the verses prior to that. "You came from heaven to earth to show me the way. He gave up everything to come down here and show us the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay." He had no debt. He owed nothing. We owed everything. He paid our debt. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Satan thought he had won when he put him in the grave. Satan's going, "Yeah, I've won." But he came out of that grave. The victory's already won for us. "Lord, I lift your name on high." There's another one we used to sing all the time when I was growing up in the church. A lot of y'all probably know what song I'm talking about when I reference this. "He came to pay a debt he did not owe. because we owe a debt we cannot pay. The debt that we owe will take eternity. Understand that? The debt we owe will take eternity. That thief on the left side of the cross is still paying his debt today. The debt we owe will last forever. But we don't have to pay it. Our Heavenly Father, who owed nothing, came and paid our debt for us. What an incredible thought that is. You know, I'll tell you, Nevaeh was timing me last time I preached. She said I went really pretty long, so hopefully I'm not going too long this morning. Yeah, so, but I got some thoughts that I really want y'all to think about this morning. I'm the thief on the cross. You think about that cross right there, and you think the thief on the right hand of God and on the left hand. You know what happened to both of them? They both died. They both died on the cross. Let me tell you something. You're not going to escape the cross. You got to decide which side of the cross you're going to be on. You're going to be on the right side of the cross and die for Christ? Or are you going to be on the left side of the cross and die for sin? But you will not escape the cross. There's a cross for each and every one of us. We just got to decide which side of the cross we're going to die on. That one on the right was escorted into paradise. The one on the left is still paying that debt today. You need to realize and understand that. Also, I want you to realize and understand both of those thieves were Israelites. They were God's people. Just because they were Israelites didn't put them on the right or the left of the cross. Watch your toes now. Each and every one of us are God's children if you've been baptized. You got to understand, if you're not baptized, you're not a part of God's children yet. Because Mark 16:16 tells us, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So to be a part of God's children, you have to be baptized. But being a part of God's children in this building today doesn't put you on the right side of God. You could still be on the left side. Because I'm sure they followed all the laws. They went to the on Sabbath day and the Passover and participated in everything they were supposed to by the law, other than they got caught being thieves and criminals. So you participating in this worship today does not put you on the right side of God. Let me give you an example. We go to area-wide fellowships. I grew up in the church in this area. I've been in this area my entire life. Started out in Caution Street. I've been involved in Cameron Avenue, Petersburg, here. So I know a lot of other Christians out there. Well, let me tell you a story about an incident that happened at Fort Lee. I won't use no name because we're not here to judge. Because I'll tell you why in a moment. It was evening time, and one of my inspectors were pulling their 24. They got to pull a 24 once a week. And when they pull their 24, the inspectors have to go inspect the barracks because they're open 24 hours a day. One of the things he does is when he goes to these barracks, he will make sure the fire lanes are clear, because some of the new barracks that we have are 1,000 feet long, and if you block the fire lanes, we literally have to go a block to get to the door. So we can't get access to the door for the fire trucks and the EMS units, stuff like that. So he found this vehicle in the fire lane. And I'm in my office, and I hear all of a sudden over the radio, because he keeps his mic right here, "I need police. I need the police right now." And I could hear a guy that had to be literally standing right in front of him over top of the mic, because I could hear him plain as day, using every foul language, everything you ever heard, yelling and screaming at him. So what did I do? You know what I did? I took off. I ran lights all the way there because I didn't know what was going on. I didn't run sirens because I didn't want them to know I was coming. And on these set of buildings, there's a back way that I can go that you'll never see me coming. So I pulled up and got out of my vehicle, and I could still hear that voice yelling and screaming like I was right on top of them. I walked up, and when I got to the point where the other person could see me. His volume was way up here. I hate to say it. You ever heard that phrase, priceless? Uh-huh. But to see his face when I stepped around the corner was priceless, because it went from yelling and screaming, "Hey, Brother Bear, how you doing?" It was somebody I knew. But that's not to judge that individual, because you want me to tell you why? Because we struggle in life as Christians. One day we're here on the right hand of God, on that cross suffering with him, and the other times we're on the left hand. So what I want to encourage you this morning, and I want you to think about this morning, you need to judge yourself daily. Decide where you're at each day. Am I on the right hand of God suffering with him? Or am I on the left side of the cross working against him? Because no matter what we do in here, it's what we do out there that makes the difference. The other thing I want you to realize and understand and be encouraged about, you can be over here on the left hand of the cross. The other thief was there too. He was throwing insults. Moments before he died, he realized what he was doing wrong. And he was able to be pricked to the heart, convicted and converted. So no matter where you're at as a Christian, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ will wash your sins each and every day. You just got to be attentive and looking. As we were talking about in class today, be aware of your surroundings, of your opportunities. Don't be hanging on the left side. Where am I at today? Where am I at right now? Let me ask you that. When it comes to this cross, I want to ask you, which one are you right now? Are you the one on the left? Or are you the one on the right? I can tell you from personal experience, there's a lot of times I'm on the left. Until I look and see what I'm doing wrong and what I need to change in my life, I spend a lot of time on the left and I go, oh man, I'm not doing what's right. And I get to move over to the right side of the hand of God. What I'm going to do here just this moment, I'm going to ask Jerry to come up, and Dale, if you'll go to the back as we do. And I love this, that the elders are so involved about your concern. They do that. If you haven't noticed, the elders, each one of them, when they're here, they're all up here because they love this congregation and they're concerned about this congregation. And I'm so proud to be a part of this congregation. But they truly want to know your concerns. I want you to take this moment as you listen to the song to judge yourself, to see which side of the cross you're on. And we're here to help. If you're on the left side, you're struggling with something, you may be right there stuck in the middle, being pulled over to the left side. You may need help this morning. You may be going through some pain and suffering. You may be going through problem with forgiveness, problems. There's different things that you could be facing with. But we're here together. That's what we're here for. That's why we come together. He help keep each and every one of us on the right side of the cross. So, this morning as we're singing the song, please think, which one are you this morning? Which one are you? The thief on the left or the thief on the right? Is there anything we can do for you? Why don't you come now as we stand and sing?